Welcome to Christ Church International's podcast. We are a faith-filled, spirit-filled gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus. Souls from every nation, one at a time. We are based out of northern Colorado in a beautiful and vibrant city called Longmont. Come join us as we proclaim Jesus is Lord to our generation. Our key verse for this year is Hebrews 9:11. Jesus has become the high priest of good things to come for you.
Boy, this week I was doing my devotional time, and I'm reading what the church is reading, which, by the way, what this month we're reading
Proverbs.
So you should be on chapter 8 today. Praise the Lord. Proverbs is easy to remember that way. And then I'm reading through the Bible, and then thank you, Danny. Praise the Lord. See, we're supposed to provoke one another to love and good works. She's provoked me to love and good works. Yeah, go Danny. That's what she did to me. Praise the Lord. So I'm reading, and I'm in Isaiah. But I'm also reading in the New Testament Spanish. And man, that's a challenge, man. Oh, man. Sometimes I go, yeah, I understand that. Other times I go, I don't have a clue what it is. At any rate, praise the Lord. So I was in Isaiah this week. And this verse leapt off the page into my heart. And so I'm excited about it. I want to share it with you. And then we're going to share it with one another. But it's Isaiah 46:13, New Living says this, "For I am ready to set things right." Now listen. He goes on and says, "Not in the distant future, but right now." Oh my. I know some of you. Then he does go on. And he says, "I'm ready to save Jerusalem." That they need to be. This needs to be a now word for Jerusalem. And he says, "And show my glory to Israel." But you know, guys, God wants to set things right in your life. I know some of you are going, "God, when will it ever happen?" I tell you, if you'll hear this by faith, and you can receive it by faith, he says, "I'm going to set things right, not in the distant future, but right now, right now." Some of you need a right now. So I'd just like you to greet one another this morning, and I want you to tell each other, right now. God's going to set things right, right now, right now. And so greet one another in Jesus' name. Well, we'll dismiss the children to their classes. Right now. Yeah, right now. Right now. Dismiss the kids to classes right now. Praise the Lord. Right now. Right now. See, faith is now. Faith happens now. Not in the future. If you're always hoping for it to come, if you're always, "Oh God, someday," that's not faith. Now it may be hope, but it's always off in the future. And guys, you'll never get it. You'll never get it. It'll never happen. Faith is now. Faith is possessing it now. Faith goes against what your body feels. I tell you, yesterday was, man, we've just been under such an attack for allergies. It's really been something. I don't know that we've ever had a year like this in our home. And I tried to get an early jump on it. Often when I get a jump on it, we have great victory. But I don't know. So we've been fighting, but we're fighting a good fight of faith. But yesterday was just, I tell you. And then on top of that, I started having other symptoms. I won't even tell you what those other symptoms were. And these are some serious things. I thought, you know what, rather than just lying around here all day and whining about this allergy stuff, and now this other thing's trying to jump on me, I'm going to go pray. Duh. So, you know, I got out my Bible verses. I carry a bunch of them on cards, and I just go out. I didn't do any complaining. Praise the Lord. Somebody must have been praying for me. But I declared the word, and I prayed in tongues. Verse after verse after verse, and just pray in tongues. And praise the Lord. That's a good thing. But we don't listen to these things. And the same thing, whether it's money or whether it's relationships, I tell you what, you just need to receive by faith and begin to speak what you want. What God wants, actually. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, thank you for your word today. And we thank you, Father, that you do want to do things in our lives right now. And Lord, I thank you that we don't, because Jesus paid the ultimate price. Lord, I thank you there's nothing that he's done now, Lord, we want to go unpossessed. Lord, if he's forgiven our sins, we want to receive forgiveness of sins. If he's received bruises and wounds on his back so that we could be healed, Lord, we want to receive that healing so that aspect of his salvation doesn't go in vain in our lives. Lord, if he became poor, and we believe he did because the word said he became poor that we might be rich, Lord, we don't want any of that to go in vain. Father, we want enough for our own needs met and have enough left over to be a blessing to others. And so, Father, we're thankful for these things that you've purchased for us. And Father, I thank you that you, oh Lord, you bore emotionally the pains and the sorrows. You were a man of sorrows. So, Lord, we can receive that joy. And so, Father, we thank you today for what your Son's done for us. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 22, and we've looked at that the last couple weeks, and we're going to look at it again just real quick this morning. You know, the problem with me preaching first is, my habit is to preach until about 11:30. Oh, God, help us. So I know that some of you are going, oh, no, I'll try and be done sooner than that. And David, chapter 22 of 1 Samuel says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave. Remember, King Saul was chasing him and ready to kill him. And so David escaped to the cave of Adullam, and when he was there, his brothers and his father's house heard about it, and they went down to him there. And everyone who was in distress, say in distress. In distress. And everyone who was in debt, say in debt. In debt. And everyone who was discontented, say discontented. Discontented. They gathered themselves to him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And so we've been saying, you know, people come in distress and in discontent and in debt, and that's okay. Jesus came for the sinner. He came for the one in trouble. He came for the one that's having problems. And the thing is this, though. We don't need to stay that way. Matter of fact, God expects us not to stay that way. You know, if you, and tragically it happens in life where a child is born and it begins to grow physically but doesn't grow emotionally or grow mentally. And that's very sad. It's a heartbreaking thing. And so it is. It must break the heart of God if his children don't grow up. You know? And there's a lot of Christians who are still carnal Christians. They still live after their flesh. They still live by those earthly desires rather than by the spiritually desires that he wants to give them. And so it must be very sad to our Father. But God wants us to grow up. And then we looked last week at how some of those 400, of course, I believe there always a transformation in them, because there were 400 who later went on with David to recover everything that had been stolen from him. But we see that out of that 400, there were about, an average of 40 who became mighty men. And I believe God wants to cause in our lives. See, I don't want to just be a Christian who just is a Christian and comes to church and says he's a Christian and goes home and lives how he wants to live. Good old boy kind of fashion, you know. Just getting by, just doing what I do. Living like I always live with no change. God expects us, and I believe he wants us. He's calling us up to be mighty men. And, you know, we've prayed over this church for a long time, and I believe God wants to give us Christians who are not just Christians. He wants Christians who are 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. We're living in an extraordinary way of life. I tell you what, it takes some work to do that. It takes some struggle to do that. The scripture says in Hebrew that we have to strive to enter into the rest of God. And the rest of God comes by faith, but it's still, there's a striving, there's a working. You got to work. Matthew said it already. You got to work the word if you want the word to work. So why doesn't it work for me? Because you don't work it. You don't pray it. You don't declare it. You don't believe it. You know, Brother Jerry talks about activating the blessing of God, and there's only one way to activate the word, and that's by you speaking it out your mouth. There's only one way to activate the word. Well, why doesn't God bless me? He said already, Psalm 3, my people are blessed. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. See, it's a done thing. Now you need to activate it. Oh, I got a brand new car. Mark, I got a brand new motorcycle, but the thing won't run. Listen, crazy guy, get in, put the key in, and turn it on. Oh, really? You got to do that? Yes. I can't go anywhere in my car. Well, turn it on. And that's how you turn the blessing on, as you begin to declare what God has already said. And if you won't declare it, it's like sitting in the car with the key not put in the ignition and turned on. So you have to activate the blessing. So I just want you to know, I'm not just a Christian, I'm a disciple. I'm a 30, 60, 100-fold believer. I bear fruit. Now, whoa, is that all the preach I got left in me today?
No.
Okay, all right. You know, we're going to have to hone our skills in some areas. And as Christians, I can see, if I'm going to become a mighty man, there's some things in my life I'm going to have to just learn how to do for the name and for the sake of Christ. You know, this is what we do when you're dating. I don't recommend dating so much, but because there's a lot of entanglements that happen. But nevertheless, we live in a culture that understands the dating principle anyway. They don't understand the fruit of it, but they understand that. So I have to use that analogy. So if you're going out on a date, I mean, you put on your best Hawaiian shirt. Yeah, or your prettiest, depending, with a little flower in your hair, depending on the gender. Okay. Well, you got to say that today. Yeah, that's the female gender that puts the flower in the hair. Okay, I'm just trying to tell you. And unless you're in Hawaii and you look like one of those big Samoan rugby players and they're doing the hula, then they wear whatever kind of crown of flowers they want to wear and you don't say anything. It is amazing. Whoa, at any rate, you get the point. That's a cultural issue. But you put on your best. You take a shower. You know what I mean? You clean the car off. That's what you do. Clean the car out. And so for Christ, should we not give him our best? Should we not intend to live for him in a way that's going to honor him? And so we need to hone some things in our lives. We need to prepare ourselves by getting ourselves ready to serve him. And, you know, there's just a number of areas that we've been talking about in evangelism. And you're going to hear these things over and over and over because we've got to hone these skills. We've talked about a lifestyle of evangelism or a lifestyle of invitation where we learn to invite people into our lives, invite them into church. You got to get them here, guys. You know? I just encourage you to everything that we do, invite people. It's rare that we would ever have a closed meeting. You know. And then we talk about Celtic evangelism where we actually invite people into our lives, and as they watch us, as they experience how we sit down as a family and we pray. By the way, Christians do pray over their meal. And if you're embarrassed to do it in public and you're out in public, I tell you what, you can at least have a moment of silence where you bow your head and honor God by saying, Lord, under your breath, thank you, Father, for this. As a family, there's nothing wrong with you holding hands or if you don't want to hold hands, whatever, just pray a prayer out loud. You don't need to be disruptive to anybody. But Christians pray. We honor God. Christians do a number of other things, too. And then we talked about the lifestyle of William Booth's evangelism. And I tell you what, let me, I got a quote here someplace from William Booth. I don't know if I'm going to get to it yet, but I guess I'm there, so I might as well. Listen to what did William Booth do? Salvation Army. Now, Salvation Army, for those of you who don't have a clue, it's not just a thrift store. Now, 100 years ago, it was quite an evangelistic force. Today, it's become kind of a thrift store. We're going to help people who are down and out. But they still are very evangelistic if you understand Salvation Army. Now, this is what General Booth said. Now, he's obviously talking to somebody who didn't believe he had a call from God. So listen to what General Booth said. Not called, did you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. So General Booth understood there's a time to compel people to come in. Now, there are certain characteristics of genuine believers. Number one, for those of you who like to keep notes, is a genuine believer has had an encounter with Christ. You know, he is a living person. You know, you might say, Matthew came home this week and said, guess who I met at Panera? Yeah. What has four legs, a bushy tail, and has nuts in its mouth? Ooh, Jesus, Jesus. No. So Matthew came home, and Representative Gardner was down at Panera. He was running for the Senate. And so Matthew came home and said, I met someone of importance, and I thought, you know what, I better go introduce myself to him, because if he ever becomes a senator or a president, and I missed the opportunity, I could have shook it. I remember my sister years ago, she said, Mark, she called me on the phone. At this time, my sister was pretty liberal. She's no longer, praise the Lord. Yeah. Although being liberal, I guess, is fine. But, you know, in this case, you know, he wasn't my favorite president. And at that time, it wasn't her favorite president. But she called, I got to shake hands with President Jimmy Carter. It's something to if President Obama came here, we'd all stand for him. Well, you know, I want to shake his hand. He's my president. That's awesome. Well, there's a greater one than the president here. There's a greater one than Representative Cory Gardner. And so there's certain things, there's certain ways that, I tell you what, he's a living God. When you have an encounter with him, Matthew had an encounter with our federal representative. We can have an encounter with a living God. And if you haven't had an encounter with him, there's a question whether you've ever met Christ. But there's some things that happen. You know, Reese Howells called it correspondence. When you're born again, there's a correspondence with God. It's no longer just, God, where are you? He wants to speak to you. Of course, it's not with these ears. You typically won't hear with these ears. It's an inner... When I heard that verse, when it leapt off the page, it literally leapt off the page. It just came off the page, and you go, whoa, God is speaking to me. Now, as I receive that word, it becomes a seed in my heart that begins to produce. Yeah. Will it happen immediately? Well, he said it's going to happen immediately, but I've got to receive it and begin to believe it. Yeah. If I go, oh, that was a nice word, and some of you went, oh, that's a nice word, another Bible promise, you won't get it. I'm expecting it right now. Now, so as we go on, we start to look at, here it is. This is what happens when you have an encounter with Christ. Once you were a thief, and now you no longer steal. Once you lied, you no longer lie. Once you were angry all the time, and now the peace of Christ dwells in your heart. You see, this is what we're talking about. Once you were immoral, and now you live uprightly. But without that encounter with Christ, it can't happen. You know, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. That's in the New Testament. Oh, let's see. Page 1275. Excuse me, 1277. And he says this in verse 8. He says, you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. See, so when you have this encounter with Christ, what happens is you might have been in the darkness, but that light comes into your life, and all of a sudden you begin to see differently. You begin to have a different perspective. You know, this is what happens. I think of Warren Buffett recently, and I tell you that every time I think about it, my blood begins to boil. And, you know, he gave $1.25 billion for abortions. Now, there's another man here in Colorado, I think it's called the Gill Foundation, and this guy's a billionaire as well, and he funds gay lesbian things all across America with the intent to change the culture. See, they have an organized intent to change our culture. Now you say, well, what's? Listen, here it is. It's worldview. These men, I believe, honestly, believe that they're helping. It's like the abortion Dr. Ahern in Boulder. I believe he honestly, genuinely believes he's helping women. But see, it's a worldview. And once you, that's a worldview that's looking into the darkness. It's looking down a tunnel. And once you look, and in some cases, a cesspool. And that's your worldview. And you think, oh, I'm helping. But in fact, when you come into the light, you see that abortion is murder. Yeah. Homosexuality is against nature. Now, we don't hate any of these people. Matter of fact, we're trying to throw a lifeline out to them to help them. We want them to see the light and to experience the joy we've received and our forgiveness of sin. Oh, what great burden must be on Mr. Buffett today. Weight on his soul today. Once you were darkness, but now in Christ you're light. And see, this is what happens is you have an encounter with Christ, and now that light comes into your spirit, man, into your heart, and begins to work its way out. And pretty soon your thoughts begin to change as you allow the Word of God, Romans chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, as you begin to have a transforming, present your bodies and your mind is transformed by the Word of God, you begin to see and you begin to think as God thinks. You begin to see as God sees. And it takes a lifetime. You know, I said, I think a couple of weeks ago, that Adam in a moment died spiritually, lost everything that God had gave him, but it took him almost 1,000 years to learn how to die physically. For us, we get everything that Christ did for us in a moment, and it takes us a lifetime to learn to live it out. You know, so for those of you who are struggling, I mean, you've asked Jesus in your life, but there's just things in your life that, I mean, that baggage. We're just learning how to live in the glory. We're learning how to live like Christ. And none of us are there yet, but we're going. See, some of you are farther along than I am, but that's okay. We're just going to go together. We see the goal. The goal is to be like Jesus. And that's where we're going. You know, there's some characteristics of Christians. I've seen this around the world. I've seen it in communist Bulgaria and communist Romania. Behind the Iron Curtains in the days we had to sneak around. I've seen it there. I've seen it in South America. I've seen it in Asia where the church, they had to walk, in a couple cases, days to get to the meetings we were having. Maybe you saw it in Africa that way where they came for days to get to a meeting. There's just some things that Christians do. One of those things is this, they get together. I've seen it. Communist countries, behind the Iron Curtain, they sneak into buildings to be together. You say, well, that's the dumbest thing in the world. It's not if you understand that you are light in God, and my brothers and sisters have got light, and I need to be with them. You have to be together. Well, I don't want to go to church today. Well, you know what? I just need to ask you, are you saved? Because Christians get together. Well, you're always going to a meeting. Well, that's what Christians do because we love to be with the people who've got Jesus inside. Listen, I look at the group that's in here and I think, what do I have in common with you? Well, I mean, come on. Over the years, we've got a lot in common. Some of us, real soon, we're going to have more in common. But my point is there's a connection by the Spirit. See? When this church is full of black people, brown people, red people, yellow people, white people, people say, why are you together? I tell you what, we've got one thing in common. His name is Jesus. And so, guys, that's just so important. Now, so Christians like to get together with other Christians because it's a God thing. Christians like to do the other things. They like to get together and hear the word preached. Now, that's the most boring thing. You get born again, you want to hear the word preached. That's what happens. You want to get together and have the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, if you read on further in that chapter, once you were darkness, now you're light. He says this, there's a washing of the water of the Word. That's why you need to listen to preaching. You can download it from our place, but there's other. I mean, Dr. Savelle, I listen to it. I tell you what, I've discovered over the years, Dr. Savelle and Derek Prince are so patient with me. Excuse me, pause. I got to do this. Yeah, they pick right back up where they left off. They are so polite to me. Now, in person, I would never tell Brother Copeland, pause. You know, you kind of wait before the man of God. But I tell you, you're ready to listen, ready to catch. But I tell you what, you all need to hear the Word of God regularly preached. I need it too. That's why I do it. Need it regularly. You know, we need to regularly gather together. This is what Christians do, to receive communion. Now, this is personal preference. Please don't, I'm not making any judgments. But I don't understand churches and denominations that have it once a quarter, have communion once a quarter. I think, well, the Scripture says every time you're together. And so I think it's important that we regularly remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. And it's a corporate thing. We do it together. Not to mean that you can't do it at home, have communion. I mean, as Protestants, we believe you can do that. If we were Catholic, boy, you'd be in trouble with me if you did that. Well, you would. Or maybe Episcopalian or something. But as Protestants, we believe that you can receive that because we are priests and we can come before the Lord ourselves. You know, Christians also gather to pray. Well, I believe I can pray by myself. Yeah, and you should. You should have a prayer life. But there's something about praying with brothers and sisters. It's important and we need it. And believers also do this. Believers share their faith with other people. Now, Jesus said this. Now, this is helpful to understand. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then in John chapter 15, Jesus is teaching, and he says, I'm the vine, and you're the branches. Reminds me of the old song. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you're the branches. And this banner over me is love. But you know, the fact is, the church, so where's the church fit in? The church is the arbor. Christ is the vine. We are the branches. But the church is the arbor. And you can't survive. What happens is this. A grapevine, if it falls to the ground, it begins to root itself. So every little branch that goes off, that's how you propagate. You can propagate them that way. But that branch goes down, gets in the soil, it begins to root itself. And that's the last thing that you need, is to root yourself. I don't need the church. I don't need the people of God. Matter of fact, you get too rooted, you don't need Christ. I got my own. No. You need to receive life from Him. You're not designed to have roots except in Christ. Okay, so that's important to understand. Now, you know, for us to grow as a church to our 120 and then to our 200 and then to our 400 by the year 2019. Is that right? Okay. We're going to have to grow in these areas. We're going to have to grow in our love for one another. Why would I want to come and hang out with people who don't like each other? Why in heaven's name would I go to the Raiders? Why did anybody go to the Raiders just to watch a game and to cheer them on? I would feel, you know, why would I do that in my orange Bronco shirt? Why would I go sit on their side and cheer? I don't want to be with those folks because it might be dangerous too. Unfortunately, if they were on our side today, they might be dangerous them too. But my point is, you want to be with folks that you like, and we need to just fall in love with one another all over again. And you know that just like a marriage, you know, guys, you got to work at the marriage. And you know, there's certain things within marriage that need to happen to kind of keep the marriage fresh and vital. And man, I can say the dumbest things, and I don't even mean it. I'm like, oh boy, okay, that was a dumb thing to say. But there's certain moments in a marriage that need to be, and if things, I don't even know how to go down some of these roads with you. And this isn't a marriage seminar, but there's just certain things need to happen to keep a freshness in a marriage. It just needs to happen. And so it is with the relationships with us. We need to do things that bring a freshness to our relationships with one another. And sometimes you have to work at it. Sometimes you just have to do that. Well, you know, there's these various methods we've talked about. I want to talk about evangelism for a few minutes. I don't have much time, but I want to talk about evangelism. And we've talked about the lifestyle of evangelism the lifestyle of invitation, where we just invite people into our lives, invite people to church, invite people to special meetings. You know, we had a 20-30-something cook-off this week, Friday night. We had a great time, didn't we? I've never had curried potato salad, but that was there. You're the first for everything, isn't there? Okay, so We just had a great time. And, you know, we invited a number of people, but we had some people show up who don't come to church. It was awesome. It was awesome. And next time we do this, I expect a lot more. Yeah, but we just had a great time just inviting people. Matthew invited a gal who's a neighbor, and she came. I was thrilled that she came. And, you know, here it is, guys. We just need to learn to invite people into our lives. The same evening, we had a neighbor who was home from the military. His son came home, and he was there. And, of course, he grew up with our boys. So we went down and talked to him, started talking to neighbors, and Patty and another neighbor began to talk. Well, we're going to have a party for the whole neighborhood together. But we've got to invite people. So that's all you do is just start inviting people into your life. And sometimes we don't want to do it because we don't want to be inconvenienced. But whenever you think that way, think this way. Jesus was inconvenienced for me. And remember, I said it last week. If you want to claim the promises that you're an heir of God and that you've got all this coming and that it's your right, I tell you what, you don't have a right to that unless you're about the Father's business, unless you're in the family business. Once you're in the family business, I tell you what, the treasures of heaven will open. And so let's remember this. Let's go out of our way to invite people to our home. Let's go out of our way to invite them out for meals. Toward the very last Sunday of this month, we're going to have a Beyond the Reach service. We're sending out, matter of fact, flyers tomorrow, I believe. They'll be in the mail. Some of you are going to help right after service. Put the stamps on the envelopes and stuff the envelopes and fold, you know, and do all that kind of stuff. And we're going to send that out to how many? 270? 277 homes. And we're going to invite them to that Sunday. And, you know, I'd like some of you to kind of target someone. Comes in the door, you take them out to lunch. But I tell you what, on that Sunday, I'd really like it if none of you talk to one another. We'll get together. We'll hang out. Get the new people that come in the door and greet them and welcome them. And we're going to pray for their needs that day. And that Sunday, when we pray for needs, as their hands go up and they say, I want you guys out of your chairs praying for people. Not sitting there. I want you to let the life of Christ come out of you. So it's this whole lifestyle of invitation. And then the Celtic evangelism is sometimes you think, you know, will this person ever come to faith? Just hang out with them. Just hang out with them. Let them see what you do. Now, if you're not living for Christ, then it's not very good. But if you're living for Jesus, get them involved in your life. They'll come to faith as they watch you. They're watching you anyway. And they're maybe justifying their sin by watching your sin. And then, of course, General Booth. Compel them to come in. Now, I want to give a pastoral warning. Can I give a pastoral warning? In case somebody drank out of that already. So, I want to give you a pastoral warning because this has already happened to me. Well-meaning believers. Say well-meaning believers. Now, I hope no one's challenged your newfound evangelistic fervor and passion. But somebody's probably going to challenge you. And if they do, I just want you to just smile and just not get into strife with them, not get into an intellectual debate with them, but I tell you, well-meaning believers will do this to you. I've already had it happen to me. Well, you're forcing people to pray with you. They're not getting born again. I've had people say that to me. I've had pastors say that to me. They'll say something like this, just saying a simple prayer won't get people saved. Listen, I'm just giving you guys a heads up. Because this little honeymoon we're having with evangelism, I mean, the good stuff's going to continue, but there's going to be a little friction. I just want you to be in on it so that you're aware, so that you can dodge it and still smile. Because you might be surprised she'll tell you this. She says, I understand, and guys, I understand the theology of repentance. Matter of fact, Jesus said this, and I've written books on it. Jesus said, repent and then believe. And so often what happens in the church today is we tell people, believe, and then you'll receive. Well, here is the order. Repent, believe, and receive. That's the order of the Bible. If you're trying to trust God for something and there's something sin in your life, you better repent. You know, if you repent, then you can believe. Because if you don't repent, your believer won't work. I understand that. There is a godly repentance. that's a brokenness before God. There's a worldly repentance that says this, oh man, I got caught. And that kind of sorrow leads to death. But godly repentance turns to God and receives his life. See, my job, we need to understand this. The folks that might get uptight with you are folks who don't understand. My job is to preach the word. It's the word's job to accomplish the task. My job is to preach the word, extend an invitation, and let the Spirit of God do what he's going to do in people's hearts and lives. Now let me ask a really obvious question, and you can tell me what you think. Can a woman get pregnant even if she's not a willing participant? Sadly, yes. Now, that's a terrible analogy, but the fact is, if I put the Word of God and I preach the Word of God into someone's heart, that person is a potential person to be born again for that seed to produce an eternal life in them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, that's a terrible analogy, but I mean the Word says, 1 Peter chapter 1 says, this is an eternal seed. Same word for sperm. In Greek, the word gets entrance into a human heart and produces a born-again person. The Spirit is born again. When the word gets in there, not my opinion, when the word gets in there, not when my intellectual challenge has challenged their mind. It doesn't do any good in the mind. It just rattles around in the mind. But when it comes into the Spirit, and when I'm speaking the word into a man's heart, and I believe it's going into his spirit, what's happening is I'm putting my faith on that word getting in there and getting that person spiritually born again. Now, this is to answer, you know, Jesus said, I want you to go out, and it's in Luke chapter 14, says, go out and compel them to come in. That's what we're talking about now. Not talking about the lifestyle of invitation where you just get them in the doors. And we'll let Christina and Izzy get them. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the Celtic lifestyle where you invite your neighbors over for dinner. And before you eat, you pray. Well, we never do that. That's fine. I'll do the praying. You don't have to. Oh, God save them. No, I mean, my point. Now, we're talking about the compelling, and that's what we've been doing on the streets. It's compelling people to come in to the kingdom. Now, let me tell you my story this week. And this, you know, right after this happened, someone challenged me. Well, you're just forcing people to pray with you. I don't see how that does any good. Let me tell you a story. So, the creative was having a meeting on Monday morning. And so I went down to get our little motorcycle license so that we can get some more rider time. And so you have to, before you can get a license, you have to get it insured, you know. So I went down to get it insured. And you know, while I'm sitting there and the gal who's handling my stuff, I thought, I got to share with her. How many know that feeling? It just starts to rise up in you and you go, you know there's no getting away with it. Yeah. And see, this is the Holy Spirit leading the Holy Spirit. I didn't hear, Mark, share with her. I didn't hear that. I just knew in my heart. Now, there's a couple ways. You just know, have that knowing in your heart. Could be you're on the street. Could be in a store or a mall. And the compassion of the Lord rises up. All of a sudden, you're just drawn to that person. You just feel, oh, man, I just feel sorry for him. There's a warmth rise up in you. That's the Holy Spirit saying, I've got something in you for that person. Just all you gotta do is follow this out now. Yeah. And of course, in some cases, now you guys are asking, Lord, hair color, you know, and the Lord gives you hair color, and off you go, hunting that hair color. That's cool. However the Lord leads you. So I knew I needed to share with her. And I didn't. So I got in the church van going off to this meeting, and I went away. I normally don't go, and I was going east on Mountain View. Went past Lashley, and there's a school there, and there's a crosswalk, and I saw three little girls getting ready to walk out in the stop box, so guess what I did? I stopped. Well, the gal behind me didn't. And I looked in the rearview mirror, and I saw her coming, and I thought, man, you know, you pray one of those kind of really quick prayers, Jesus, you know, and I kind of braced myself. Well, she saw it in the nick of time, and she turned to her car and hit the back of the van. But she ended up careening up on the sidewalk, and I thought, first off, my God, she could have killed those little girls. So thank God I was there. So anyway, I got out of the car, called 911, got out of the car, and she's just really shaken up, but she's okay. And so I went over to her, and I prayed for her. I said, can I pray for her? You know, I just prayed for peace for her. And then, you know, there was a neighbor came out, says, this happens all the time. I think, great, at a school. And he was directing traffic. So, okay, everything, okay. So I went back to her and began our script. Pray with me. She said, no. See, I'm not forcing anybody. I mean, this woman, hello, you could be dead now. Not could it happen, not saying it will. It could have, though. No. I will not. She let me pray for her. But when I said, let pray this with me, no. I asked her twice, no. Okay. Police came, did their thing. I'm still not off the hook. And now I'm saying, I don't have an option because I got to go back to the insurance place. So I walk in the door, and she goes, uh-oh, is this bad news? And I thought, well, because she just saw me 2 hours ago. I said, well, I guess I got some bad news and I got some good news. I told her what happened. We talked about how to file the claim. And then I simply said to her, you know, when I left here, I needed to share something with you. And I didn't. I was thinking about you and your little boy. And if you died tonight, she said, I've never thought about it. I said, pray with me. And she prayed. Here's a woman who almost died, would not pray with me. Here's a woman who never thought about it, ready and to receive Christ. Now, my point, guys, is this. You're going to have some people tell you, well, they didn't really repent, and they didn't do this, and they didn't do that, and they didn't do this other thing, and you're just forcing them to pray a prayer. You're not going to force anybody to pray. And so here it is, the one woman who almost died hitting the back of the church van, refusing to pray with me. And the other one going, yeah, that's good. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 5. Wow. I love verses 1 and 2. Not so thrilled about 3, 4, and 5, but 1 and 2 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, and through Christ we then have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 17 says, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one. That's why we're all sinners, because of Adam. Thank you, Mr. Adam. But, much more they who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. Friends, the Bible says, with the mouth confession is made to salvation, with the heart a man believes unto righteousness. And the fact is this, is where, as we begin to compel people with this evangelism lifestyle, I guess we could call it the Riley evangelism style, not General Booth. It doesn't matter. I don't care what term you put on it. But as you begin to simply share that faith, and we're going to lead you through that in a minute, so all of you, we're going to equip all of you this year to be able to do this. And I know some of you need to catch it from somebody else who's already walking in it, and I think that's best to happen that way. But, you know, as you learn how to do this, and you begin to get, because I believe every Christian wants to share their faith. You know, that's because it's born again in you. You know? With all of our Celtic Swedish heritage, no wonder our kids are tall and blonde. Just who we are. Well, when you get born again, what happens is this. There's love in there. Even for your enemies. Whoa. Well, they don't live. No. The love of God is in there. That's what he said in Romans chapter 5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has already been given to us. So the love of God is in there. There's some other things that are in there. There's a love for the Word of God in there because you were born by the Word. All of a sudden, this thing is second nature to you, and it should become that way to your mind, but it is to your spirit. That's why when we read that verse at the beginning, I'm ready to make things right. Not in the distant future, but right now. That's why some of you went, because it was the Word of God speaking to your spirit, and your spirit going, yes, Father, now. And that's what happens. You see, that's why you respond to the Word. That's why when we come to worship, there's something in you. You might be embarrassed about raising your hands, but there's something in you that wants to worship God. But you see, here's the thing, guys. And I like what Kenneth Hagin used to say. Our job is to catch the fish. It's his job to clean the fish. Listen, guys, I know the church in America is broken. I know America is broken. I know the church in America has lost its salt in many cases. And Jesus said, if you lose your salt, the only thing you're worth for is being thrown out. And I'm not teaching that an easy believism. I'm not teaching that people don't need to repent. We're not sharing with people that. What we're doing is we have to understand we're speaking to their spirit man. We're speaking the Word of God. And as you grow in your faith and as you grow in understanding of the Word, you might not use the three verses that you're using in the script. There may be other verses that you use. But what you're doing is you're implanting in their heart the Word of God. And the Word of God will cause that person to be born again. It's not how well you defend the gospel. It's not how well you articulate the gospel. It's as you apply that word by faith into their heart, something transpires. The Spirit of God breathes on that, and they're born again. My. Someone quote Galatians 4:19 for me, please. My little children, I travail in Christ. I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you. So Paul, the great apostle, is talking about his life of prayer for these who have been born again. Or who've received the Word of God. He said, my job. Now listen, guys. I don't want to dampen anybody's evangelistic fervor. But on some level, you're responsible for these people you lead to Christ. And so I want to encourage you we really would like a list. Because we're making a chart. Every first name will go on there. So at least we can say, Jesus, pray for Jim, and we thank you for George, and we thank you, Lord. We just go down the list, thanking, and the Lord knows who they are. But you need to kind of have an idea of who you're praying for, because he said, I'm going to travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you. You ought to be praying for those that you won to Christ, that you prayed with. Now, it's pretty simple. And a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, I prayed about. I taught on three things. I taught on the Aloha, the Homocomb, and a Kairos event. And to explain that to you, these are three areas that I just pray for in my life. It's become now a habit in my life. I pray this for my life. I pray it over my family. I'm praying it for you. And so here is the first one, is I pray for an Aloha encounter. Now, we've been wearing Hawaiian shirts in this church longer than I can remember and longer than I've had this revelation. But the aloha is that face-to-face encounter where we exchange the breath of life with one another. Patty, come here, please. More fun to do it with you than with... but it's this. Huh. And that's what aloha is. Face-to-face, eye-to-eye, release the life of breath into one another. And it's taken on a number of things in Hawaii now, but aloha is the shalom word for Hawaiian, but nevertheless, that's where it originally came from, is that ha, that exchange of life, that exchange of breath. And you know what? So I just, Lord, I need that aloha encounter with you. Adam saw it. I mean, that's the first thing Adam, when God formed him and breathed into him, Adam opened his eyes and there was Jesus standing there, face to face like that. And his life was coming into Adam, and Adam was a living soul. Jesus, I need an aloha encounter. Now, as a Christian, I know some would say, well, if you're born again, you don't need it again. Oh, I tell you what, I talked a little while ago, and I didn't expound on it, but there are certain things happening in a marriage that need to happen on a regular basis to keep life in that marriage. And guys, I need an encounter with Christ on a regular basis. Now, we get it most of the time from the Word of God. I'm not saying we go around and looking for some kind of experience. But I do know this. That's what that word was for me this week. It was, I'm ready to set things right. Not in the distant future, but right now. That's a life word from God. And that's what you need. You need a life word from God that He breathes that into you. We need aloha encounters. I tell you what, guys, if you're confused in your life, you need an aloha encounter. If you're troubled in your life, you need an aloha encounter. If you're demonized, you need an aloha encounter. Whatever it is in your life, if you need healing, you need an aloha encounter, and Christ Himself will rise up in you and throw off that sickness. That's what He did to me yesterday. I went out and took just a walk, and as I began to pray in tongues and begin to, those symptoms, the serious ones I was telling you about, they fell off. I'm just telling you guys, I'm trying to make it practical for you. The second thing is this, is I pray for myself and for my family and for you, and sometimes I don't know which one I need more, the aloha or the homicomb. The homicomb is that place of God's purpose and that place of God's plan. The Scriptures has come to us, I think Don prophesied it, the Lord has made room for us and now we'll be fruitful in the land. It's time for it. Lord God, put us in the homicomb so we can be fruitful. I tell you, that was a homicomb of sense when Copeland's ministry called us and said, would you guys partner with us? And we, with trepidation, said, okay, fine. But I tell you what, in that place there's been peace. And in that place, after I got peace, there wasn't any peace for about a week after we said yes. I thought, my God, this is, what are we going to do? I had pastors going to me, you did what? How many? I mean, thanks, guys, for the encouragement. But there is a place for us as a church, guys. I don't know how God's going to do it. I'm thankful for this one. I'm thankful for New Creation. Bless them today, Father. So grateful to them. For Pastor Mario and Stacy and their willingness to let us be here and their board. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. But I believe God has a homicomb for us. And we need that place. He knows that. And then finally, I pray for those Kairos events. Those moments, we would call them divine encounters, where heaven's eternity meets our time. That day, last Monday, I had an encounter with my insurance gal. I had an encounter with a gal who had a wreck. And they both, and only one of them took the divine Kairos encounter. The other one rejected it. Sad. So now, how do we pray? I want to kind of just reverse that if we could. And as you get ready to go out on evangelism outreaches, and we'll say some more about that in a few minutes, but let's begin to pray for Kairos moments. Lord, we're asking, Father, when we go out on the streets or when I go to work or when I go to school, Lord, give me a Kairos moment and give me the wisdom to understand it, where heaven is kind of highlighting. It's like if you've ever been to the theater, and I hope you've all been to the theater. The theater. I hope you've been to the theater. You all need a little culture sometimes. But when you're at the theater and the spotlight comes on someone, everyone else might be in the shadows, but the spotlight, this is what a Kairos moment is when it's like a beam of heaven goes, and you go, oh,
and you just step right into it. I mean, you can be just as dumb as a rock. Whoa. It's like that. You see it. What I get upset with my life is when I miss them. I go, I knew. So that's why I almost missed that one. Well, I did miss it. But God was gracious to give me a second opportunity. Lord, give me a divine encounter, a divine appointment, a kairos. That's a Greek word. The word kairos is a Greek word for time. But it's not just time in general. It's a specific time. So I need a kairos event, Lord. Then secondly, as we begin to pray, Father, those that we lead to Christ, I pray, Father, for a homecoming for them. It might not be with our church. It might be with another church. But, Father, I pray for them. I pray, Father, that they find that place of your purpose. That, you know, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, he sets them in the body where it pleases him. You're here because God's pleased to have you here. You thought it was your choice. You thought you were something. No. God chose you to be here. He sets you here. You're a living stone. He sets you here and he locked you in with us. Thank God. I'm happy for that. There's about 350 more that need to come. They're coming. They're filling the chairs. And hopefully, Lord willing, we'll have purple chairs by then. I don't know. You started dreaming about the chair colors we're going to have. I don't know. Praise God. Maybe start dreaming. Are you dreaming about prayer colors, Patty?
Teal.
Oh, teal. I hear teal. I hear purple. No. Well, I tell you what. I declare this church will never have a fight over color of chairs. Paisley. We'll just mix them all up. Plaid. There we go. We could have the creative design and inner court. Plaid. Who wouldn't we look good in our kilts? It's a great idea, isn't it? Oh, man. Oh, this week, Patty and I were out having our Friday morning date, and we were having coffee together, and our prayer date, and we were first having coffee, and this guy came in this kilt. Well, listen, I mean, you know, and so, you know, Joshua and Matthew and Greg were wearing their kilts, and then Dwayne was in his full regalia. And go to Wheatland Studios, and you get to see this one, okay? And I tell you what, it's wonderful. You'll laugh and laugh and laugh. And I told Dwayne, I better see you dancing in church. So at any rate, it's called Kilt Hearts. And so this guy came in, and I couldn't resist. He was wearing a 9/11 kilt. That's a manufacturing company. And so I went up and started talking to him and told him to check these guys' video out. And then as we were driving away, he was ahead of us. And back of his car, it said, Born Again Pagan. I thought, so Jesus help this guy, you know. At any rate, who knows what? He may link to you guys and then link to you guys and then link to us and then he'll get born again. Praise the Lord. So, but let's pray for those homecombs for people. We need one. You know, our kids need one. Our kids need a home. I remember when I was a kid, I just had so many homes my folks lived in. Patty did the same thing. Her folks and my folks were a little different. They were investing, getting wealthier and wealthier. My folks were just whatever. But we just lived so many places. We determined, you know, even if the Lord called us to the mission field, unless he gave us specific direction, we're going to keep our house. It's a place for our kids to be. We just wanted that homecomb for them. And I want you to know I'll be obedient to the Lord. If he told us to sell, I'd do it. But we just feel like that's a place God's given to us. Yeah. And you can believe for that. But I think as a church, we need that. But you know what? The people you lead to Christ need a homecomb. They need a church people. They need a people that, you know, I tell you, no matter what kind of trouble we have in a marriage, we're real people. I'm not going anywhere. And Patty's not going anywhere. That's just the way it is. And, you know, that brings safety not only to me but to our sons. And that should bring some safety to you. Now, thank God again for the grace of God when people make mistakes, that we can step into that grace. And that's what I'm talking about with this whole thing about evangelism. Well, they didn't repent. I knew a guy one time. I said, what are you doing with that guy? Well, he said, I'm making him recount every sin and repent of it before I pray with him to get saved. I said, you're a nut. You mean you can tell me all the sins you've ever committed? Why are you putting that on this kid? It was a kid, actually, he was praying with. I said, what are you doing? I I can't remember what I did yesterday, guys. Patty and I were trying to figure out yesterday. Now, was it yesterday or the day before we were working in the garden? Let alone my sins that I don't want to remember. Or the sins I'm not even aware of. Can you say, thank God for grace? Man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man. So now the third thing we pray for is we begin to pray that, these that we've prayed with, that word will quicken and they'll have that aloha moment. See, I pray the aloha for myself. I pray for the homicom for myself and for you. I pray for divine appointments for me and for you. Now let's just reverse that. Lord, I need a divine appointment. I'm hunting divine appointments. Then we pray for the homicom. We pray with them. We pray for them. We bless them. Get in the church. Invite them. This might not be their homicom, but get in the church. And then we pray for that aloha, that that word would really quicken and that Christ would make himself real to them. Praise the Lord. Quickly. Izzy, would you come up here, please? Now, one of the things I want to share, we're going to do this regularly so that you can be aware. Grab a microphone over here. And as we take Riley's teaching, and I'm all for 4 spiritual laws, Campus Crusade. I'm all for Billy Graham's Steps to Peace with God. As a matter of fact, part of Riley's message is from Dr. D.J. Kennedy's Evangelism Explosion. If you die tonight, that came from Dr. Kennedy. I'm for all of those. But we're using right now because we're having fruit, aren't we? And so there are 3 things, and I'll let Izzy just share with you for a moment and lead you in this invitation. But we're going to sharpshoot. Now, when we're out passing out food or something, that's really great because it's people come to us. I mean, it's like open doors. But when you got to start the conversation, it's a little difficult. That's why we want to sharpshoot. And so just be led of the Spirit, and I've already told you, if it's that anointing that rises up, that compassion rises up, or the Lord tells you hair color, we're hunting, we're sharpshooting, we're not just scattered and hoping to get something. The second thing is this, is remember, 1 Peter chapter 1 says that the word is eternal seed. And remember, Isaiah 55:11 says that this word will not return void, but it'll accomplish that which he pleases, purpose, and prosper to the thing he sent it. And so we know that it's designed for men and women to be born again. That's what the word's for. So what are we going to do? We're going to do what Katie does day after day after day. She injects people with antibiotics or something or other or immunizations or whatever it is that she's, but once that's injected, it's in there. You cannot get it out. And so that's what we're doing. We're doing it by faith, speaking that word in there, not to their intellect, not to their mind, because their mind may be wrestling. So we inject it into them, trusting that the Holy Spirit will quicken that word in their hearts. And then the third thing we do is remember, don't say, can I pray for you? We just pluck it. Apple, may I pick you? No. You pluck it. And you know what? You're not forcing anybody. The gal who almost died hitting the back of the van. Listen, as fast as she was coming, had she not swerved and she'd hit that with all the stuff in the back of our van, she might have been dead. That close to dying, she would not pray with me. Meanwhile, the other gal, never had thought about it, ready to receive Christ that quick. So, again, we sharpshoot, we inject, and then we pluck. It's that simple. It's that simple. Izzy, would you share with us? Share with them. Lead them to Christ.
If you guys died right now, where would you go?
Slow it down. You don't have to. You're not in a race.
And if God were to ask you why she lets you in, what would you tell him?
Okay. See, but some of you, you know, you're doing the company line here. But somebody may hear it be today. Yeah. You don't know what you'd say. You'd say, because I come to church all the time.
Because I'm a good person.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so you know the Bible says in Romans 3 that all have sinned, and in Romans 6 that the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And Romans 10:13 says, "He who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I know that Jesus died on the cross, and he rose again. And I thank him for that.
I thank him for that.
So I ask him to come into my life.
Ask him to come into my life.
And into my heart.
Into my heart.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What else do you say to people after you've prayed with them?
Well, a lot of people, like a lot of Christians, they tell me, like, a lot of them, they'll be like, oh, because I'm a good person. And so then I'll tell them afterwards, you know, it's not what we do, but believing in Jesus. And some people are like, I don't know. And so I say to them also, you know, when you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are saved. And the people that say, I don't know where they'd go, I tell them, Christina told me to say this to them, you know, now you know where you're going. You don't have, like, if anyone asks you this question again, you can say, because Jesus died on the cross for me, I'm going to heaven. So,
amen.
And a lot of people, especially last week, were telling me, a lot of Christians were like, I didn't even know. I'm glad that, like, they're saying thank you because I didn't even know. So,
yeah. People in churches.
Yeah.
Wow. Anything else? Can you do that in Polish? I tell you, Isaac's going in Spanish, man. That guy, I tell you, we were so proud of him. He just was just going for it. Man. Yeah. You want to come do it in Spanish? No, okay. All right. Just asking. Polish. All right. All right. Praise the Lord. Thanks. Amen. Worship band, would you come? Is that what you want to do now? Okay. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you to, if you're a little unsure how to share with people, grab some of the folks who have been doing this out on the streets, and it is really very, very simple. And you won't always get, you know, I was rejected 50-50 on Monday. That's right, I wasn't rejected. They rejected what I had to say, which was about the Lord, wasn't it? And she just didn't want to hear. But you know what? Somebody else is rejoicing.
Yeah, that's right.
And so it's good, guys. And we just want to, let's stand. And Lord, we've got a long way to go. And I just want to thank you for the promise of that the Spirit of God is with us, to lead us and to teach us and bring us into all truth. And Father, I believe that there are Kairos events waiting us to share the gospel with men and women and boys and girls. Lord, I believe that there'll be a homecoming for each of those people, a place of your purpose and a place of your plan. We would ask, Father, that you'd give us some of that fruit to come and be with us. Lord, we confess even now, Lord, I think of the disciples who called their other disciples and said, come over here, our boat is full. And so we just pray, Father, and ask that you'd send people here to help us. And then, Father, I want to thank you for Aloha encounters. Or, Father, even some in this church who said that they're born again, but they've never had an encounter with you. Lord, you'd make yourself very real to them. And, Lord, I just want to thank you for doing these things. Help us, Lord.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's podcast. We would like to invite you to come join us sometime soon. We meet Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. at the Burn Building, 527 Main Street, Longmont, Colorado. You can find out more about our ministry by going to www.christchurchinternational.org or www.innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado 80502.